You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
What we're dealing with here, and it says about giving all to God, that God is looking for all. God is looking for our all. That God is crying out. God is searching for a child that will say, you know what? I'm a child of God. God, I want to give it all to you. And that's really the theme of this series, Renaissance, that we're doing. Looking just quickly over the next 3 or 4 weeks, looking at the book of Malachi and seeing that this book is more than just about tithing. You know, that's usually how people look at this book. It's just about giving the tithes, but there's so much more. And so if you get in your Bibles this week, Malachi 2 verse 1. Malachi 2 verse 1. Last week we looked at chapter 1, and I want to just, while you're getting there, I'm going to read verse 2 of chapter 1, because it sets the tone of what God says. And he says, I have loved you, saith the Lord. I have loved you, saith the Lord. And this is the beginning. This is the first thing that God wants you to know while he sends this message out. This message is to do with God's love. Have you ever spoken to somebody, and as you're speaking to them, you realize that actually they're not listening? You ever had that experience where you're talking to somebody and you realize they're not listening, but they kind of pretend like they are listening? Recently, I had this experience. Don't come up to me after service, say, Pastor, was that me? Because I'm not going to tell you anyway. But there was someone that came up to me and they was asking me some questions. And so many of you know, if you start asking me some questions about God and Bible, I'll give you an answer, man. I've got an answer for you. And so I was talking and I realized that I think that you just talking to me for talking's sake. Because when I started to explain and expound what the answer, I could see their eyes glazing over. And they were looking around like this while I was talking, and I quickly just realized, yeah, the lights are on, but nobody's home. And so I said, you know what, let me just wrap this up. And I said, yeah, well, anyway, prayer will work it out. God bless you. See you next week. Take care. Bye. And God, how many know God is good? Amen. But that was, you know, that's a little funny thing. But what when you're seriously trying to communicate with somebody? What when, you know, you're trying to communicate how you feel about somebody? What about in a marriage when there is love and you're trying to communicate? And many times marriages go through problems when there's no communication. Relationships break down when one person is trying to bear their heart. And think about this now in the context of what we're talking about. Somebody says to another person, I have loved you, but the other person is not really listening. How many of us tragic? Well, I believe that this is what this text is about that we're going to look at, is that God has told his people, I love you, but they're not really listening. They're not really interested. But not just the text, not just the children of Israel, not just Bible times, Old Testament times. Can I say that this can be the problem with the church today? That God is telling us, I love you. And we're like, yeah, whatever. And so Malachi 2 verse 1, the Bible says, Now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will cause your blessing. I will curse your blessing. Yes, I have cursed them already because you did not take it to heart. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. I pray, Father, that you would help us. Father, I pray that we would strengthen our relationship with you, not on the surface, but Father, a deep, meaningful relationship with you. Father, this is what you want, for you have loved us and you've drawn us into covenant with you through Christ. I pray, Father, as a church, Father, we would value our relationship with you more than our ministry, more than our reputation. It is our relationship with you. And Father, as individuals, Father, that we would move deeper and deeper in relationship with you. I ask you all of this, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Jesus. The first thing that we see in this text is that God deals with the priest. He says in the beginning, O priest. He says, and now, O priest. And so he's dealing with the leaders. This is the first thing God's going to deal with. He's talking to the leaders. And so if we was to bring this into modern New Testament time, God, first of all, is going to deal with the pastors. He's dealing with the pastors. He's saying, listen, pastor. And he's talking, saying, look, you're not, I've loved you, I've called you, I've positioned you, but you're not doing my will. How many know a pastor is still have to be a Christian? Still have to be a Christian. You're not exempt. You must live an exemplary life, actually. The Bible says those that would want a leadership ministry must be above reproach. That those that are going to aspire for leadership, a pastor or a leader, must actually be above the reproach of the congregation. You must live to a higher level. But we're not just talking about pastors here. We're talking about Bible study leaders. We're talking about those in ministry. And even the Bible says that we are now a royal priesthood. All of us as Christians, we are here to represent, and we can actually put ourselves in this as Jesus is speaking. And what God is saying to the church, he says, you've departed from the word. You have departed. You have drifted from my word. This is a tragic indictment for God's people. Remember, God is not talking to people in the pub. God is not going into a rave or a party or a dance or whatever you want to call it. He's not going there Saturday night and saying, you've departed from my word. He's not going into a gang or into a bed of fornication or into a drug house. He's talking to his people. He's saying, oh, priests, Christians, leaders, pastors, you've drifted, you've moved away from my word. And what he says is in Malachi 2 verse 8, but you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, say the Lord of hosts. See, this is the problem. When the church drifts from the word, when a Christian drifts or departs or leaves the word of God, you will cause others to stumble. Do you know how many people today are not serving God? And listen, they're going to have to give an account before God. I don't know how it's all going to work. But do you know how many people today are not serving God because of a pastor who has fallen? Because of a pastor who has done things he should have never have done. Not just in morality or finances or these things, but sometimes that so-called leaders, they will preach heresy, error. I've had people tell me that they've come from churches or they've been in churches where people can legitimately separate from their wife and have another partner in the church, where someone is committing adultery on their wife and they're still in the church. Listen, you do that in our church, we will kick you out so quick. So quick. I don't like that. Listen, no. We will deal with you. We've told you, that's right. But what about grace? We're going to give you some grace afterwards. I'm going to deal with you. Where you will allow people to sit up in the house of God going to hell. Bible says adulterers are not going to heaven unless they repent. I don't care how much they tithe. I don't care how talented they are. I don't care what Bible they read or how much Bible they know. Listen, if you live anti-Christ, we're gonna challenge you, man. We're gonna challenge you with the word of God. I'm not here. I always say I didn't come here for politics. I'm not running for mayor. You didn't vote me in, you can't vote me out. I was ordained by God. And so I'm just gonna preach the word of God. But the Bible says, listen, people, leaders and Christians, they move away from the word of God, and now you've causing others to stumble. There are people that have brought division into church. You know how many people, they whisper to people, division, rebellion, whisperers, so, in the background, doing all this madness, and then you pull someone out of church. And then I remember when we was in Rotherhithe, there was a lady. I was a new convert at the time. So we you know, Rotherhithe, when I got saved, Rotherhithe was only probably about 40 people when I got saved in Rotherhithe. And so I was 22. Most of the guys were like between 20 and 22. And we were all together, hanging out together, and we'd go fellowships together. There's probably only about 10 of us between girls and boys. There's about 10 of us, and so we just were all young. We hang out, and so there was this one woman that was slightly older than the rest of us, and she had a fellowship, and she had not got saved in Potter's House. She had got saved in a different church, and so she came into Potter's House, and so she was, you know, she was quite, how could I say, quite forceful. She had this way about her. She's, you know. And, you know, praise God, we're all different. How many of us are all different? So we there's no beef here. We're all different. But she would always be criticizing what the church did. And in my mind, I was just a new convert. I was like, well, if you don't like it, leave. Raggle. If you don't like it, leave. In my old church, go back to your own church. That's it. Go back there. If that's what you like, go back there. Hey, listen, anybody here, you're here. Oh, my old church, go back there. I'm not going to chase you. The reason I'm not saying that in a bad way, if that works for you, that works for you. This works for me. I don't go around badding up people's churches, talking bad, like, no. I'm like, if that works for you. I've been to churches, I'm like, you know, it's good, but it just didn't work for me. God placed me here. But she was undermining, and what she did is she started having church in her house. She had some little chicken heads coming around her house, and she was just like discipling them and poisoning them. And so she started to talk nonsense over them, departing from the word. And so eventually she left the church, and she pulled some of these women out of the church. And I remember one woman she pulled out. This woman was a lovely young girl, man. She loved Jesus. We was always, all of us was always going places together, preaching the gospel, going on impact teams, going on outreaches, getting involved in drama and concerts. And she pulled her out of the church, and I never saw of her, never heard of her again. And then years later, she came back to church, and she was sitting at the back, and I saw her. I said, hey, long time no see. And she was looking at us, and so she was listening to, she had her headphones in. So I was like, I don't know, maybe she's done some sort of worship, man. She's a worshiper or something. She's in the spirit. But she was like, and even during the service, I was like, no, there's something wrong now, man. That's a different type of worship. And she just got up in the service, and I can't remember, she did something crazy, and the ushers tried to speak to her, and she went outside the church, and right outside the door, and this may sound a bit gross, but this is the real deal, and you need to understand, life is tragic. She pulled down her underwear and urinated right in front of the church. She had lost her mind, because there are people that depart from the word of God, and because they depart from the word of God, they cause others to stumble. They cause others to stumble. I don't know where that woman is today that pulled her out. Pray God has mercy on her soul. She's repented of that. Can I ask you a question today? Who's teaching you? Who's teaching you? Some people, YouTube is their teacher. Listen, just because they put it on YouTube, it don't make it factual. No, I saw it on History Channel. Oh, so that's factual then. Do you know what the History Channel exists for? To make money. History Channel, people are like, no, History Channel's for history. It's to make money. That's why they have adverts. It's to make money. So any outlandish, speculative thing that causes controversy, people will watch it. The Bible is not real. This is not that. They have someone on there, a so-called expert. There's 50,000 experts on the other side of the argument that will say something. Do you know, if you talk about anything, there's always going to be two sides of it. But, oh, no. You know, the Bible says this and that, and we saw on... Who is your teacher today? But notice, who is your teacher? Who are you teaching? What are you teaching? See, God actually takes this very seriously, and he says this in the text. He says, I will send a curse upon your... he says, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. What God is saying, I'm going to stop. The things that you've been blessed with, those things are going to be corrupted. He says, I'm going to curse your blessing because you've departed from the word of God. You're leading others astray. And God's like, listen, I'm going to deal with that. That cannot run. And he goes on as you read, he says, this is going to play out on your children. He actually says that. He says, this is going to affect your children. And I want to say to you today, Christian, you better serve Jesus. Parent, you better really serve Jesus. Because it's going to affect your children. If you love your children, stay saved. And don't have this type of double standard. You're in church, praise God. And on the way home, yeah, I wasn't really into that. Yeah, I don't think that. Gossiping about everybody. Then your child grows up in that environment. And then as soon as your child gets to a certain age, they're like, later. You're like, hey, you should be in church. They're like, listen, man, we see you're a hypocrite. Your child sees everything, man. And so you better be a real Christian in church and at home. You better have a relationship with God so that your child can say, you know, no matter whatever your child does or whatever, they can never say you didn't serve Jesus. They can never say, no. People may not agree with me. People may not like my stance, my the energy. But people can't say, I don't believe it. I believe it. I live it. And the same must be done for you. Because there's going to come a time, parent, when you're going to have to say to your child, no. And what's going to back that up, what's going to add weight to it, is that they are going to see, this is how you live. You believe it. But not just natural children, what about spiritual children? I believe that if we depart from the word of God, it will affect our new converts. And if we have people that are departing from the word of God, we will wonder why new converts can't get established. We will wonder why people are not getting saved. We will wonder why we're not seeing revival. We'll wonder why things have changed. Because God will say, listen, it will affect when people depart from the word of God. God says, I love you. He's talking to us. And he says these words, and this is what really stuck out to me as I was reading this chapter. I was like, where is the sermon in this chapter? You can't preach the whole chapter, go through it. It's not a sermon. But as I was looking at it, the thing that leapt out of me is in the text where God says, you will not take it to heart. He says, I'm speaking to you, but you won't take it to heart. What about the word of God, Christian? Have you taken the word of God to heart? This book, the Bible, have you taken it to heart? Do you read it? Let's start there. Do you know how many Christians don't read their Bible? I don't mean in this church. I know this church is Holy Ghost, man. Everybody's just reading their Bible, wearing it out every month. You have to buy a new one, I know. But just imagine for a second, there are people on the planet somewhere that call themselves Christians, but they don't read their Bible. They don't read their Bible. You've departed, you've left, you've forsaken. This is what you need to do. Be very wary that you don't get distracted. The devil wants to distract you. Even well-meaning Christians can become distracted. You're listening to sermons. Sermons are just another man's kind of like, you know, an expository of the word. And so we need preaching. Yeah, we know that through preaching people get saved and edified. But you can't live on preaching. Preaching is to point you to the word. Yes. My preaching is so that you would go back and go into your word yourself and say, yes, amen. That's what it did say. That you should be going through the book of Malachi as I'm preaching this. And so that when you come on a Wednesday, you've already read it and you're like, yes, amen. In your spirit, you're strengthened. Sometimes people are watching documentaries all the time. about the Bible, listening to preaching, watching documentaries. Sometimes people are watching these, you know, the documentaries, debating with other religions, Muslims, and debating with all of these things. Can I tell you today, it's good to kind of have an ability to defend the faith and, you know a little bit of the tactics of apologetics, arguing your point and catching people out and knowing the loopholes. But can I tell you today, do not substitute that for this. Because if you really want to be able to answer any question, know this. The more you know this, the more no one can twist you up. There are so many lies out there. If you spend all your time trying to learn the lies, you'll wear yourself out. I don't need to know every name you're not named. I only need to know your name. I don't need to know, hi, what's your name? Well, my name's not Peter, my name's not Paul. We'll be here forever. Just tell me, what is your name? As long as I know your name, then now I know the truth, I can call you. You just need to know the truth. Spend time in the Word of God. And some people need to read it. Others need to take it serious. You don't take the Word of God serious. What about those that resist preaching? These are people also, because in the text he speaks about the priests, and he speaks about how the people, in Malachi, he speaks about how the people should be receiving from the priest. And there are some people, they no longer receive preaching. When the preaching of the word is going forth, when we say, thus says God, when we tell you, the Bible says do this and the Bible says don't do that. That enough should be, let me see, yeah, that's right. It shouldn't be that you stick your heels, no, I'm not doing that. Or you're not applying it. See, he says you're not taking it to heart. When you come into church on a Sunday and a Wednesday, are you taking these sermons to heart? Do you take them in? Do you absorb them? This is serious. This is God's word. This is God speaking. Do you apply it? Do you know if we don't apply the Bible, it's no good for us? Head knowledge of this book is not going to change nothing. You must apply what it says in this book. See, what he says is you're not taking it to heart. You're not taking it in. The Bible speaks about the heart a lot. The heart means the inner man, the intellect, the feelings, the will. We understand that God is always telling us it's about the heart. When you look, Matthew 23:37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. God wants it all. Like the song, God wants it all your heart. And so we must approach the Bible with a wholeheartedness to get anything out of it. And then he goes on, all your soul, all your mind. Matthew 15:8. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. God says this is a rebuke. This is an indictment. He says, no. He says, on the outside, you look really devoted, but on the inside, he says, your heart is far from me. I said this last week. God listens to our heart. So think about this now. You could be sitting here right now. I know this is amazing preaching, so none of you would be thinking anything negative. But you could be sitting here right now thinking, oh, I don't like this. I don't like the way they're going on here. God hears it. God hears this mumbling, grumbling noise. You're singing, wrap me in your arms. But your heart is like, I can't be bothered, man. Where's going on? Where's going on? And I don't like that person. Why she got her hair done like that? So think about it now. You're singing, your lips are honoring him, but your heart is far from him. Not only does God hear your heart, God looks at how you listen. God wants you to listen, not with your ears, but with your heart. This is what it says in Hebrews 3:15. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Who's the classic case of hardening the heart? Pharaoh, correct. I think this is the classic case when you look in the Bible, who hardened their heart. And where did it lead them to? Destruction. Destruction. The Bible says in Exodus 7 verse 13, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord said. If you look at the account, the Bible doesn't always say that God hardened his heart. I think as we look and we see that Pharaoh was wicked before God even hardened his heart. We know God raised him up for a purpose to glorify himself. But as you look in the account, the word that is used for it grew hard or hardening, it means to become strong. And what it's saying is Pharaoh's heart became strong, meaning, no, I'm not doing what God told me to do. Then the word also means to become heavy. You can't move it. And if we become heavy, our hearts, first of all, we're like, no, I'm not doing what God wants me to do. But really, can I say, we don't even say, we would never outwardly be like, no. But inwardly, no. And then the heart becomes heavy. It's like, for God to move you, it's such a big thing. To move you, you know, when you find something really heavy, to move it just a little bit is so much effort now. And because when people have become hardened, they've departed from the word. They don't love the word. They haven't given themselves to the word. They don't read their word. And this is why it becomes so much more harder for you to go back to the scriptures. You ever spent time where you've neglected the word and then you try to go back and read it again? It feels so hard. Just to open it, it's like, my days. And then you read one verse. It's like, now the Lord said to Josh, oh, this is hard. It's your heart. He says, become hardened. We're no longer touched by his word. You know, what happens is this. He said, in Hebrews, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. When you go to the gym, you do exercises. Men go to the gym to get fit, build muscle. And the men say, amen. Amen. We don't go there just to be limber. Flexible. Hey, it's good to be flexible, but you know, you want some muscles, man. And so the sisters is different. We don't need that. Unless that's your job, your competition. I mean, it still be a bit. Anyway, I'm not even going there. I'm digressing. But think about this now. You can go to the gym. And if you've ever, you know, any of us guys, we'll admit, you go to the gym and so there's a certain strength level you have. The first time you ever went to the gym, oh, that was heavy. But then as you keep going, you get stronger. You get stronger. And what's happening is that as you're resisting the weights, the weight is on you. And so say like it's bench press, the weight is on you. They drop the weight on you and you feel that and you're resisting it. Now, I'm not going to let it fall. I'm not going to let it do what it wants to do. It's a resistance. There's a challenge of resistance. I feel it. I'm resisting it. And if you keep doing that, resist it. Resist it. Resist it. As you keep doing that, you get stronger. And the same weight that was once, oh, I can't lift it, get it off me, now is, it's easy. God tells us, when I call you, don't resist me. So God, just imagine, God comes to Courtney and he pulls my hand. And I'm like, go this way, Courtney. Forgive them. Give. Live pure. No. It might take a bit more in the beginning. Oh, God's dealing with me about this. I'm not doing it. I got out. Woo! I got out. I didn't have to do it. Praise God. Then you come back to church again or you read your Bible again. Same thing. Bit easier this time. The same thing. Your heart has become hardened. Like a muscle becomes hard. The more resistance, the harder that muscle comes. God's telling you, forgive your wife, go and apologize. In the beginning, it's like, I was so convicted, we argued. Now it's nothing. And you're abusing her. It's nothing anymore. It's nothing. You stole something at work, it's there. You know you shouldn't have took it. Oh, it felt bad. Now it's nothing. It's nothing anymore. Your heart. God says, stop hardening your heart. Stop hardening your heart. This is why when you come to church, you hear nothing anymore. Nothing convicts you. Nothing actually disturbs you anymore. It's all become an outward showing. This is why there are people that can call themselves Christians, leave church and go do something so heinous. We'd be like, how could you do that just after church? Because they've been exercising, man. They've been resisting God. Your heart has become hardened. God says, you never took my word to heart. Remember in the beginning, God says, I love you. I've loved you. I've done my best for you. I've loved you. I've entered into covenant with you. But you've taken my word lightly. You've just taken my word like it's nothing. You don't feel it. You take sermons like it's nothing. Well, man, maybe I'll do it. Maybe I won't. It's up to me. Reading the Bible like it's nothing. Can remain in rebellion, can remain in unforgiveness, can remain in bitterness, can participate in uncleanness and immorality, can live a worldly life and not feel any conviction or any, like, no, I need to stop because the heart is now becoming hard. Can I say to you today is that maybe we need our hearts healed. The word of God is what heals our heart. See, resisting it and neglecting it makes them go hard. Giving yourself over to it will heal it once again. It's the cure. We have the cure. Look at someone say, you have the cure. You have the cure. You don't have to leave here today thinking I'm doomed. I stole that pen from work. I'm doomed. No, there is hope. There is hope. If you've ever, I remember years ago, I was preaching a sermon, something to do with the potter's house. And usually when I'm preaching a sermon, I like to research things. I remember I was reading or looking at some video about a potter and how he was making the clay and all of that. And one of the things you notice he kept doing, he kept putting water on the clay. As he's working the clay automatically gets dry in his hands. But he keeps putting water on it. That's like us. As God is molding and making us, we keep getting dry in his hands. That's like, it's hard to work with us. What he has to do is keep putting water. You know what the water is? The word of God. This is why you need to keep yourself in the word of God. So that God can keep molding you and making you into a marvelous ornament for his glory. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:26, that you might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. The word is like water. See, what cures our hearts is the word of God. And when your heart becomes hardened, your actions become, they reflect your heart. When I see people do things, I'm like, you know, that's a hardened heart. We can get angry with them. How could you do that? How could you do that? Why are you doing that? Why? We can get angry, we can do all of that. But you know what the reality is? There's a hardness of their heart. The Bible shows us in Psalms 51 verse 16. This is what he says. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. And you do not delight in burnt offerings. This is after David is repenting from committing adultery and killing the woman's husband. How many know this is bad? Yeah. There's a hard heart, David, man. It's a holy but hardness going on there. Listen. He goes to God and he says, you do not desire sacrifices or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. You know, sometimes people start to, their heart becomes hard and they're doing things and they do the wrong thing and they sin. They violate their family, their church, their marriage. They're doing things. You know what they, sometimes when people want to do, now they're in a tough situation, what they do is they start to they start sweating and that, and they start talking about, oh, I'm going to make it right. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And it's all sacrifice. God says he doesn't want the sacrifice. He doesn't want all that sacrifice. This is what he says. This is what you need to do. He says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. You know what the Bible is saying? Is that your heart has become hardened. There's like this tough shell over your heart. It's become tough like a rock. It's all around. And he says, you know what has to happen? You need to be willing to allow God to break it. You need to be willing to allow God to break it. Sometimes people will be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry I did that. You know, sometimes people are sorry because it's gone wrong for them. That's why they're sorry, because it went wrong. What you did is now gone wrong for you. You're feeling it now. We're dealing with you, so now you're feeling it. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. We don't know the man's heart, so we don't know a woman's heart. So, okay, this is what the Bible says is, stop talking about how sorry in your sacrifices. Let's see if your heart has been broken. Now, in the Bible, it doesn't mean broken. It's not talking about when you break your mobile phone. That means it's obsolete. That means it's not working. What it's talking about is breaking this veneer, breaking this shell that's around your heart that nothing of God can get in and it can't move anymore. That you would come to God with the word and say, listen, God, break this thing. Allow your word to fall on this. And however it plays out, whatever happens to me, no matter what happens to me, no matter what people say about me, no matter, there is no more trying to justify. There's no more. A person whose heart is really broken is not blaming others. You're blaming others. Listen, if my wife burnt my toast and I slapped her in the face, exactly. How many know that's wicked? She'd be knocked out. Think about this. Imagine if I said, oh, I'm sorry, because she came to church with a black eye. I lost the ministry. Have to go back to Revive. And listen, you should go back to Revive. Here I go. I lost my ministry. Now I'm so, oh, Pastor Me, I'm so sorry. So sorry. And then I say, but you know what she did? You haven't repented. You haven't repented. You haven't repented. You haven't repented. Your heart is not broken. What you just want to do is you want to bring some sacrifices. But you haven't repented. Because the Bible says a repentant, what God is looking for is a broken heart. A broken heart doesn't look to justify their actions. A broken heart doesn't have time to blame other people. A broken heart just says, God, let your word fall in my heart. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But please, help me. I'll do whatever it takes to make it right. because I only see my sin. God is looking for a responsive heart. Responsive. If you like cars, you know what that means. You put your foot on the accelerator and it responds. It's responsive. It's like, yeah, this car responds nice. The steering, the accelerator. When you've got, you know, car, you put your That's how some Christians are. God puts his foot on the accelerator. Yeah, God's dealing with me about something, you know. God's been dealing with me for weeks about something. Yeah, God's dealing with me. Okay, I'll do it now. God's like, my days, I put the... God wants a responsive Christian. How can God get you to do things if when he has to do it like a week ahead? He's looking for a responsive heart to the word. Truly humble. Let me give you some scriptures and then we're going to close in prayer. 1 Chronicles 34 verse 27. Listen to what God says. Because your heart was tender. That word tender, don't see it like, oh, he's tender hearted. No, that doesn't mean that. What it means is responsive. It's not hard, it's soft. When you touch it, it feels. When something has become hard and callous, you can't, it has no feeling to it. It's got too thick. The skin is thick. There's a shell. There's something in between. When something is tender, what it's saying, as soon as you just touch it, like your eye is so tender. How many know, just you put a little eyelash in there, you got to get it out. It's so tender. What about God? God says, if your heart was tender like that, that I just had to touch your heart, that you could just read the Bible and open it. You just need to come to a sermon and the pastor mentions what you've been going through. Oh, yeah, I need to get it right. He says, because your heart was tender. How do you get a tender heart? And you humbled yourself before God when you heard his word. So many times people are like, yeah, how do you be humble? God is not telling you to walk around to be humble. God is telling you and me to humble yourself under his word. That means his word is telling you, you was going in this direction and the word tells you to go, turn around. That's humble. I really wanted to go there. But the word, I've humbled myself under the word. I really didn't want to forgive that person. But I read when Jesus says, forgive, that's it, I'm humbled. I've got to forgive. I really didn't want to. I'm finding it hard to live pure and to stop doing this and stop talking to that person. The word told me, live pure, stop. I'm humble. When you humble yourself under the word, the Bible says that you tore your clothes, and meaning it is an outward, you just rent your clothes, you wept before me, and also I have heard you, says the Lord. The Bible says that in Malachi 2 verse 5, this is what God wanted with them. He says, my covenant was with him. Speaking of Levi, remember this is to the priest. He says, this is what I had with you. One of life and peace. We had something going here. And I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me, means he reverenced. And reverenced before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth. He was constantly around the word of God, speaking it. And injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and righteousness and turned away many from iniquity. See, a man and woman who's in the word of God is a fruitful man and woman. The Bible says, look, they turn many away from their sins. For the lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and the people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Ezekiel 36:26, read it the other day. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take away the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. That's obey his word. And you will keep my judgments. Again, that's his word. And you will do them. This is what God wants today. God says to you, listen, I have loved you. I'm talking to you for your word. I need God to talk to me open your Bible. I want a word from God. I want to know what to do next. Open your Bible. Come to the Bible and say, God, I love you. I know that you love me. You saved me. You've got a great destiny for me. Let me find it here once again in the Word. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.